What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Well, hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
Sorry. Got a little tickle in the throat.
What's going on? What are you guys doing today?
Just excited to be here.
I have news.
What?
I have news.
Breaking news?
I think it is breaking news. Let me get my board up here.
If this is what I think you're referring to, it's breaking news to me.
Hold on.
It's breaking news to us. Not one of us, but two of us.
Bloop.
We're looking right at you, Buckley.
This has to do with our producer, Ryan Buckley.
And his white privilege yet again.
We were told you're headed to the Rose Bowl?
Dude, I told you that last week.
You did?
Yes.
I wasn't here last week.
Because you were talking to Jakey Poops about it.
To who?
Jake. This is a guy who's also going. We, all three of us, were talking about this.
Really?
Right
at my desk, Jake was sitting there, I was sitting there. We were all talking about me going to the Rose Bowl.
God, I don't remember that.
Well, yeah. So the Rose Bowl game is at 2.
Correct.
You are still here. Why?
Because I will be going down on a flight at 7:30 tomorrow morning. I will land in Burbank at 9:50.
Wow.
And then I will go to the game.
Buckley, that is a ballsy move.
Why? I've done it before.
Is this the John Buckley private jet? Is that what's happening?
No, this is the Alaska miles from the wife who travels quite a bit.
Huh. Nice.
Yeah.
Again, Buckley's white privilege show.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, any sort of delay.
Yeah,
you're cutting it close, dude.
I suppose so. But I'm going into Burbank, which is much better than going into LAX. Yeah.
And you don't get the pregame. You're not going to get to...
Well, you kind of do.
I land before 10. I should be fine. Yeah. I'm going straight to the stadium.
Yeah, if he Ubers from Burbank Airport to the stadium,
yeah, I'll be
he's
fine.
There by I'll 11.
Be, I think I'll be there at least before noon, but probably sooner than that.
Interesting.
So,
but, you know, with flight delays and whatnot...
Yeah, the day of game fly-in...
See, that would make me too nervous.
...is a bold maneuver.
I would not book that. I'm too...
Yeah,
I just have to give myself a buffer
because if you're paying for tickets, right, hotel, all that, you're betting.
No hotel. So the way this came about was that a high school friend of mine, her husband works for a company that has a seat on the Rose Bowl board or something.
Here comes more of Buckley's white privilege.
He's in with the board.
And the board.
I don't even know who he works for, but she's not a duck. She's a wildcat. She's like, hey, me and Sam are going to go to the game, but we have the option to buy two more tickets. Do you want to go? And I'm like, well, how much? Well, they're basically like face value tickets. So I said, sure, if I can get a flight for not very much money or miles, and then I'm crashing at their place. So
how much did you pay for your flight?
Let's
really dig into
said miles.
Yeah, I mean, I used miles, but I still like $300 for the flight.
Oh, that's not bad.
No,
yeah, okay. I essentially got one leg paid for.
It sounds like Sook approves.
Yeah,
because you need Sook's approval.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying
on this
Buckley's white privilege. It's just it's unbelievable the amount of fortunate things. When he told me, oh, yeah, friends on the Rose Bowl board, I was like, of course they are. Buckley's going to be involved in some. Like, do you get to flip the coin? Are you officiating the game?
I already tried to weasel my way onto the field via Dusty, but that's not happening.
No,
what?
No.
You got stiff-armed by Dusty?
Well, not by Dusty. I missed the window to try to get a media pass, and I'm not going to the game as a media member, so...
Yeah. Who cares? You know how many times I've been a media
member?
Well,
yeah, plenty.
At a game? Like, I was a media member at the Army-Navy game a couple years back. I can assure you no coverage was had. That's one of the beauty parts of being a media member is, especially if it's just you,
well,
you can
let's be honest, though. The Rose Bowl, they're a bunch of tightwads. It's a little maybe a different story there.
I don't think I've ever done that.
No?
I should do that.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Yeah, I never do that.
It's harder.
I did it once. I did it at Disneyland.
Yeah, Disney has...
Disneyland gives... I think they changed this.
I think COVID, they suspended it. I don't know if they brought it back, but it used to be if you called in advance, you got like two or three... passes.
Yeah, they'd give you free passes.
Yeah, free passes.
Because you're media. They want you to go back and talk about it.
Yeah.
which I didn't.
No.
Or I probably crapped all over.
They don't need to know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've only done that once.
Yeah.
But I should do that more.
Yeah. If you can't really do it if you got multiple people, but if it's just going to be you somewhere, dude, you want to go to a baseball hockey game, you know, you call a week in advance, you send out an email, you can get into those things. Well, and then once you're in, you just leave the press box and you go weasel down to an empty seat and away you go.
Where are your seats?
I have no idea.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I love the way you roll. I could never roll the way you're rolling, but I love the way you roll.
And this was kind of inspired because I did this once before when Oregon played Florida State in the Rose Bowl 10 years ago, mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota and against Jameis Winston and all that. Yeah. And I flew down on like the 6:30 a.m. flight on Southwest. And I kid you not, my butt hit my couch right when the replay of the game started at midnight when I got home to my apartment in San Francisco. Perfect sports day.
Tasty. Amazing. I do love the day of is a bold move, but I love the, hey, do you want to go? And you don't really know any details. And so you're just like, yeah, what else? It's a couple hundred bucks.
And my wife encouraged this. When I brought up that my friend offered the ticket, she's like, you haven't been to a game in how long because you've been doing Ducks post game? She's like, ask Jeff if you can get it off and go if you can go. And I'm like, all right, let's do it.
She wants you out of the house. Yeah.
I don't think that's true. I think she values my help with the children.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
You think it's a reward?
Mm. Kind of.
Okay.
Well, not even a reward. It was a gift. She's paying for the ticket. I'm not even paying for the ticket.
That's double. She wants you out of the house, and she's willing to pay for you to
well,
be gone.
Well, then she's getting what she wants.
Getting what she wants.
You don't care. I don't care. Why would you care the reason? You're
exactly.
going.
I'm going. That's right.
Out.
No,
74
kids.
And sunny. Let's go.
Tasty. Is it supposed to be 74 tomorrow?
74 and clear.
Yeah.
I love that game. The Rose Bowl. It's
perfect. It's
I think
the perfect
I saw
sporting
70,
event.
71 at kick, I believe, is what they're predicting.
Sounds about right.
That's why the national title game should be at the Rose Bowl every
Agreed.
Single year. Although it would be kind of fun to see. Remember they had the Super Bowl in New York that one time, and it didn't snow, but it was butt cold.
Who played in that? Was the Seahawks in that game?
Was that Seahawks Broncos?
I got a yeah. That might have.
I think it might have been Seahawks Broncos.
Yeah,
and wasn't. I think it was really really rainy, but maybe not for the game itself, but the whole weekend and. All the corporate muckety mucks were complaining
about
it. Just
the idea of having one of those games and then having it be awful weather would be so strange. Like a Snow Bowl, a Super Bowl in Green Bay, let's do it. Yeah, MetLife Stadium to East Rutherford. Who the hell played in it? By the way, Wikipedia, that should be, when I Google that, yeah, it was the Seahawks Broncos. That should be the first thing is telling me who played in it. 43-8.
First snap of that game went over Peyton Manning's head.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. And then I remember, I think the next series, Cam Chancellor drilled one of the Broncos receivers over the middle. And it was like tone was set and Denver wanted nothing to do with them after that. Because remember, that was like the year Denver set all kinds of records with their offense. And it was this unstoppable machine. And the Seahawks came in and just laid an absolute defensive ass whooping on him.
I worked with a kid from Denver in San Francisco, and he paid so much money to go to that game because it was the New York Super Bowl, and he was going across the country, and he was miserable.
That's always my fear. Like if you sprung, like Rob did that, you paid a s ton of money to sit. Like,
World Series,
two games, but the one that you paid. Because the first one you went in Kansas City, they lost. You got Bumgarnered. And was it
game? Well, so did they. The game?
Yeah.
I went to two games, one in Kansas City, one in San Francisco.
Yeah.
The Royals were Bumgarnered both times.
Yeah.
I think I saw three hits.
But I remember you went to the first one, and the second one wasn't planned, and you're like,
right.
I got to go down.
We're going to go because the first one kind of sucked.
Yeah. And so you went to the second one.
Second one sucked worse.
You had like the best seats possible. We could see you behind home plate.
Yeah. But we did pay a lot of money for those, but not as much as you would think being right there because they were obstructed view seats.
Okay.
And my buddy, the ticket broker at the time, Jake, got me those seats. Yeah. Otherwise, we would never have had the opportunity to get those for so cheap.
But I remember watching on TV and thinking to myself, I was like, God, that is such an awesome thing to go see your team. And then you got Bumgarnered again. And all I could think about was like, oh my God. And to this day, that still like affects me when I think about like trying to go to a World Series game. It didn't happen this year, but I told myself if the Mets go, because they were on that magical run, I said, if they get to the World Series, I'm like, F it, I'm going to go. And I was like, a World Series in New York is going to be very expensive. And I was like, screw it. And all I could think about is I'm going to spend thousands of dollars and I know the game I'm going to go, they're going to strike out like 14 times and have one hit.
That's right.
And I'm going to sit there and be like, I'll never pay to see Pete Alonso hit the walk-off home run. No, I'll pay to get Bumgarnered.
Well, you know what's going to happen tomorrow.
I mean, I've paid over a grand to see Oregon lose two national championship games.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Well, those are Man, I was gonna say they were both really good games. The Auburn game,
the
was
Auburn
great.
Game was yeah. great.
Well, and even the Ohio State one, that was a 1-point game going into the fourth quarter. They just got
was it really?
Yeah, they just got steamrolled. Damage 21-20 at the third quarter break.
Text program. I've been to 2 Chiefs games in the Mahomes era, and he's 0-2 in those games.
Wow,
like, what? They don't lose.
That's atrocious luck.
What are the odds of that?
What an idiot that guy is.
Two games you go to, they get skunked on both of them.
Well. I think tomorrow the Ducks now may, because Buck is going.
Yeah.
The Ducks may lose 45-10.
It's entirely possible.
Based on everything we're talking
about. At least you didn't spend a bunch of money, because it's.
No, and that's the thing. If they were to go to the national championship, there's no shot I'm going. Like, yeah. I'm not.
Well.
That across the country, the price of those tickets, not a chance. I'm only going to this because I kind of got a hookup.
I have to tell you something. I love money more than you.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I were to bet on Ohio State, mm-hmm. which I have not.
It would not be a shot at me personally.
No, of course not. But that would be the reason that when Ohio State wins, and they're doing the crowd duck pouty face shots, duck fan pouty face shots, mm-hmm. I pray to God one of them is you. And I mean that respectfully.
No, I know. I mean,
if I don't
think we
bet
all feel that way about each other. I'd want to see your pouty face in the crowd too.
My Kansas pouty face. Yeah, you've all seen it. But if I don't bet on Ohio State, I am just hoping to see you in the crowd, drunk as a skunk.
Yeah, that's a possibility too. I mean, staying at my place tonight or tomorrow night.
Like if it starts going sideways, there's only one thing to do, and that's get wildly drunk. The problem with that is getting wildly drunk at one of those games
is expensive. And also, I'm coming back here to work with you, Yahoos, the next day.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, you're off Thursday. I heard.
No.
Somebody said Schulte thinks he's in for you on Thursday. He just told me that.
Yeah, you might want to check on that.
Well, no, Schulte's doing the post game show for me tomorrow, but
he said Thursday, but. You might double check.
I mean, I guess I could take the day.
We might give you a buffer day. Although I would like to check in with you.
Yeah, my plan was actually not to miss a day of work besides, I guess the day I'm supposed to do the postgame show.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so that's not real work.
This guy says, my dad has cursed the family. Every pro game he's ever been to, football, hockey, baseball, our team has lost. Like, it's a...
Come on. That's not a real thing.
I had a buddy who had been...
You can't always get a great game.
I had a buddy who'd been going to Ducks road games since he was a kid and never saw an Oregon win until they beat Tennessee in Tennessee. He even was at the Dennis Dixon crumples into a ball in Arizona game. Like, he was at games they were favored heavily and got boat raced.
I'm trying to think because, I go see the Mets when they play Seattle Interleague, which happens once in a while, and that's 50-50. I think I'm 5-0 going into Detroit to see Wings games.
Nice.
So I've never seen them lose, but I am terrified because I haven't been to a World Series game and I haven't been to a Stanley Cup game, and I would go see the Mariners, but I wouldn't really have a rooting interest if they. I mean, I would be rooting for them, but it wouldn't bum me. The Mets, I would, and then if the Wings or Canucks made the Stanley Cup Finals, I would go. My kids are Canucks fans, and we've been going to those games since they were like 13, and I would have a vested thing in that. The terrifying part is those are going to be two of the most expensive, like the Vancouver Canucks have some of the most expensive tickets in sports. And I just don't know if I have the courage. It would probably be $1,500 to $2,000 to get in the building to a Canucks Stanley Cup Finals game. And I know, I just know the way I root, I know going there, I know I'm going to watch them lose.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what?
Not maybe. I know it in my core.
You can't predict that stuff.
I can.
You got to pull the trigger. You're never going to remember the money. You're going to remember the memories.
Come on. The Wings might be the only one that I would have faith in. The only three teams that I would go to in sports where it would be like, oh my God. Mets, Canucks, Wings. And the only one that I have any faith in is the Wings. The Mets and Canucks, I guarantee that's just pissing money away. And that trip's going to be miserable.
Is that more because you've just seen the Wings do it before or a number of times before?
I don't.
And so there's like more like you can believe in it because you've seen it happen?
Yeah, there's just like a faith. I don't know. And they suck and they've sucked for like 15 years. But that it just there's something about that I trust. I have zero faith. Zero in the Mets. And the Canucks are kind of like the Mariners of hockey. They've never won anything. And the last time they did get to the Stanley Cup Finals and lose, they burnt the city to the ground. Although, to be fair,
last I checked, it's still standing.
If I were to go to that game in Vancouver, I think, and they lost Game 7, I do think that the riot would maybe make that a little easier. Like, wouldn't that be a more memorable experience? Yeah. Like, you spend all that money.
That's what I mean.
How many people out there would prefer that there be a riot after their team loses? Well,
I mean, they do. They full, look it up, dude. They lost to Boston in game 7 and they full on lit that city
on fire.
There's
that fire of the year, or that photo of the year of the of the couple making out laying on the street.
There's a bunch
the
of fires, car
them.
Fires, and there's just a couple in the middle of the street getting it on. Yep. And I'm like, you know what?
That's a great photo.
I don't think they regretted the loss.
No.
Now, see, that's. So that's all.
See, making memories.
If you need to lose, then at least burn something out. Light a couch on fire.
Do it next to a fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
In public. All right. Well,
so just go to a Blazers game. It'll train you to get used to watching teams lose in person. I don't know how people.
Point.
I don't know how people do that anymore.
Yeah.
But well, that's a whole other
free tickets.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do. The only way to do the Blazers is free tickets. Well, at least these days.
That is tough. You can get sweet deals, like if you want to sit courtside, dude. Some of that stuff is cheap now. People give
them. Well, it
those
better
free. Be. Yeah.
They used to charge an arm and a leg for those.
Yeah. Not anymore.
It's absurd.
It's every now and then my buddy will call me up and be like, "Hey, dude, I got like second row." I'm like, "I don't want." He's like, "Dude, they were dirt cheap." And you're like, "All right." And then you go sit in the second row and you're like, "Ah, I feel important."
We have a big show today.
Do we?
No.
Yeah. Is there anyone on the road?
No.
Like,
it was very.
I saw six cars.
Well, there. I mean, you know, it was normal traffic for me today.
Was it?
Yeah.
It wasn't for me.
But yeah, it's, you know, I mean, come on, it's going to thin out. Everybody's getting ready to go party.
Exactly.
Best part about living on the West Coast, East Coast ball drop.
Yeah, no one cares about the West Coast.
No, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
Even on the West Coast, it's too late.
No. I know a ton of people that watch the New York one
and go to bed.
Yeah, they're in bed by 9:45.
I saw that Dodger fans have pointed out the exact time in which you could start watching Game 5 of the World Series to watch the ball drop by Aaron Judge in the World Series. Remember the big error that started that whole inning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, maybe watch Anderson Cooper get drunk and giggly, make out with Andy Cohen, something like that.
Yeah, start watching it 10:26:44 tomorrow night, and you can watch the ball drop right at midnight for New York.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Well, Happy New Year, you sons of bitches.
That's right. We'll see you next year, right?
Well, we're not going anywhere. I mean, we have
a
whole show to do.
Yeah.
I don't know why you said that. Yeah. We're not leaving.
That's that bad joke.
We're leaving at 7.
See you next year. 6:56, actually.
Yeah, folks, this is a big show.
it's a really big show.
Big bowl day today.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, go SEC.
Yeah. Who's winning that? What's going on with that Illinois game?
21-17 Illinois. South Carolina's got the ball in the red zone. Or no, they just gave it up. Illinois's got the ball back. 3 minutes to go.
The Cox.
So that's going to be 4-1 Big Ten over SEC. Is that?
Appears possibly so. I guess they were fighting or brawling or something like that. People are getting married at the game by Cheez-Its. It's crazy.
Yeah. I saw the Cheez-It marriage.
All hell's breaking loose.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know you got yourself a lady when you convince her to get married at the freaking ABC Cheez-It Bowl.
Wasn't a Cheez-It the officiant?
That's right. Yeah. His name is like Zed Cheese or something. I don't know. He's got like a specific name.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good woman.
Yeah, that was going down. Now, is it?
Well, maybe not. But, you know.
it's his woman.
She played along.
It's his. That's right. It's his woman.
We will do the poll question coming up next on The Fan. You know, it's just crazy to me that, because I was talking to my wife before I left, I was watching the YouTube TV split screen. You know, they have, you can do 4 games on one screen.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Dude, it's really amazing. Like, it's, I don't know why.
We're living in the golden age of television, my friend.
But if you have DirecTV, you don't get that. I used to have DirecTV stream.
Why every provider isn't doing that is beyond me. It seems technologically very easy. Now, I'm a technological idiot, but that doesn't seem hard.
But she was like, are these for all the marbles?
Oh.
And I said, whoa, babe, no. I said, we're just getting started. I mean, tomorrow's games are big.
Yeah.
There's a tournament. She's like, did I know that there was a tournament? I said, I don't know if you knew there was a tournament. It's a new tournament. Yeah. So I'm not real sure, but we got a long way to go. She's like, well, why did it take so long? And then I had to explain, well, they're kind of stupid. Sometimes they give them time for finals and holiday break.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait a week in between games, and it just takes a long time. Yes. She's like, okay.
It's a process.
And that was way too much information. Yeah. She didn't care.
That's why whenever I start explaining something like that, because I was watching BYU Colorado, and I had to explain that that was not in the playoff. And they were like, well, I thought the playoffs were going on. I'm like, well, they are, but we didn't make it. And she said, but your team was really good. And I said, we were, but we weren't that good. And it was a whole explanation, and about 30 seconds into the explanation, that's when I turn and I say this.
Just
it doesn't really matter.
Right.
You don't care enough.
Just this, trust me.
And I said, it's not in the playoff. And then you move on.
It's a good game, but that's... So she's like, well, why do they play all these bowl games? Like, well, I just don't... Who cares?
Exactly.
You don't care.
No.
Let's just
the explanation, the juice is not worth the squeeze. Just let it go.
But anyway, what I was about to say was, it is amazing that after all of this football that we've watched, and we're almost to the new year, and it's kind of just getting... Like, the big stuff is just starting.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yes.
In like an hour.
Yeah, exactly. That game kicks at 4:30.
Yeah, you got Genty over there warming up in between this vicious cockfight between the Cox and the Fighting Illini.
Penn State, Boise State.
I'm actually excited about this one, too, because Penn State, you know, we all used to laugh at Penn State that they couldn't win a big game, and all Boise State's known for is winning these sorts of games. I think they're 3 or 4-0 in the Fiesta Bowl, and now they're 13.5-point favorites. I personally think Penn State is going to roll them, but... In the back of my mind, I'm like, oh my God, here, like this is what Boise does. Two touchdown underdogs. Like, this just smells like a Boise State FU moment in the Fiesta Bowl, and it's going to be great to watch Penn State fans cry.
Well, that starts in an hour. We got Ducks, Buckeyes tomorrow on the Fan.
And Buck was right. Bielema and Shane Beamer may fight each other at the end of this game.
I'd like, say something. I have not watched a lot of South Carolina football.
Yeah.
But I was watching this game earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I have officially deemed Shane Beamer a douchebag.
You are 100% correct.
He is, dude.
Absolutely.
He's way too much.
Absolutely.
And I totally side with Brett Bielema if he goes over there and drops a...
It's kind of douchey.
Drops the Hulk Hogan hammer on him.
Well, Beamer's a little fella, and I'm telling you, if that happens, Beamer's going to hit him with like that belly bump, that old man just thrust, and Beamer's going to go
He's
flying.
He's going to go into the fifth
like,
row.
I'm watching this replay of like Beamer like losing his S.
Yeah,
and like,
he goes
what
crazy.
He's getting pulled off the field by three guys. Like, what is he going to do if they turn him loose?
Right.
Is he really going to go over there and just throw a haymaker?
It's so great because as he's doing it, Bielema's on the other sideline laughing and smirking his ass off. Let's go.
You know Bielema used to beat the crap out of guys like
100%. And this is why bowl games, while people say stupid and pointless,
is
why
they're
great.
Fun. I mean, these teams, I can't think of, we used to say, oh, you know, this team doesn't care, they won't show up. And we do have opt-outs and transfers and everything.
Oh.
But I can't think, can you think of, and I've watched a lot of these bowl games, pretty much all of these bowl games.
Yeah.
Can you think of a game... I mean, a blowout's one thing, but can you think of a team that just didn't show, didn't care?
Like,
because they're lacing them up and they're getting after it. Like, even Washington State.
Yeah, Washington State was down.
They had nothing to play for.
Nothing.
Everybody was out.
Bitch, let's go.
And they were, and they got beat, but I mean, they brought it.
Michigan was without, I think, six of their, if you looked at their NFL prospects, six of their top seven did not play in this game against Alabama. They got up 16-0. Look, I understand that some guys opted out. The people that were on the field for Michigan, they gave it. I guarantee you, they gave an S.
It was great.
And they were out to prove a point. And I'm same thing with Illinois. We heard from everyone that South Carolina was the hottest team in the country. No one wants anything to do with South Carolina. If they got in the tournament, they could win the whole thing. And they're about to go down to the sorry-ass Fighting Illini. And it's great.
Yeah,
it sounds awesome.
So it'd be 4-1 Big Ten over the SEC.
Yeah.
I love that.
By the way, the Alabama team that was somehow jobbed out of going to the playoff. Yeah,
South Carolina, too.
Yeah, they looked like absolute ass today against Michigan. And Jalen Milroe, I'm sorry. Anyone that thinks that Jalen Milroe is an NFL quarterback, have fun with that. Raiders, why don't you go ahead and draft him? Because that would be perfect.
Did you see the suggestion that he was tipping plays?
No.
Someone was saying that like when his legs were, or when his feet were essentially at the same depth, he was handing the ball off, and when he had 1 foot back, he was dropping into a pass, and that everybody knew whether pass or run
Michigan,
was coming.
Michigan, if you didn't watch that game, they lit him up.
Yes.
Especially early. He turned it over 3 times in the first 10 plays.
Yeah. Let me just say, if you're wondering what Jalen Milroe is like, if you ever watched Anthony Richardson in college and thought to yourself, boy, that's a great athlete, but doesn't play quarterback very well, if you wanted a worse version of that, go watch Jalen Milroe play. There's times when you watch him and you're like, have you ever played the position before? He went 16 of 32. I mean, it's just,
I didn't realize the line was that bad.
It started pouring rain and he fumbled. I think Michigan was up 16-0 before you could turn the game on.
Yes.
And I think one of them was it started pouring. He had bad cleats on, so he was sliding all over the place. And there was one bad snap that Michigan recovered, and then I think he fumbled
twice, and
then he threw a pick.
Yeah,
as well. I think a pick. Was it a pick six? No, it wasn't a pick six.
I don't think it was a pick six.
But anyway, yeah. Michigan was up 16-0 before you could blink, and they won 19-13. Classic Michigan game.
Yes. And hey, there's your Alabama team that had to get into the playoff.
Exactly.
No, they didn't.
Well, let's get to the poll question. It's on X at 1080 The Fan, and of course today we are asking you a very simple question. The obvious question of the day: who wins, Ohio State or Oregon? Vote and vote hard. We will talk about the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, a lot today. But up next, do you think we should talk about how much of a shot Boise State might have tonight?
Mm. Yeah.
That was a question.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I am. Okay. I'm excited about
that
this game.
Kicks at 4:30.
No. Strong no.
We'll get that one out of the way. We got to talk about Arizona State. Can they shock the world? And then we'll get into...
he's got a dog mentality.
Oregon, Ohio State, Rose Bowl. But first, Buck with Sports Center.
You're making me uncomfortable.
All right. Back to some Rose Bowl talk in a bit. Let's do a seggy on Boise State.
Let's talk about it.
Yep, they're getting ready to kick off against Penn State. They are down in Glendale, I believe. Is that the Fiesta Bowl?
You are correct, sir. We're... Boise State obviously has that's the site of the first BCS bust, and that was them beating Oklahoma. That was the Zimbransky.
Oh.
And then they were back a couple years later, and they actually beat the number three team in the country. That was undefeated TCU, right? They knocked them off. And then they went back to the Fiesta Bowl a couple years after that, and they beat Arizona. Remember, that was the year Arizona had Rich Rod. And they were, I think they were at the time maybe number 11-ish in the country. And I'm trying to think. I think Boise might have one more Fiesta Bowl win.
So
they have had some big moments at the Fiesta Bowl over the years against, look, none of those teams were national title type teams, but against good teams that physically Boise State was not supposed to beat. So the question becomes is Penn State a national title team, or is Penn State more like those Oklahoma, TCU, Arizona teams that are good, not great?
What do you think? You think they can knock them off?
I think they can. I don't think they will. I don't.
But I mean, is it a game where it's like this is going to go down to the wire?
I don't.
Or
think so.
Everything's going to have to go right for them to keep it close.
I think everything has to go right. And unfortunately, I don't think this Boise State team. It's weird because I've seen Boise State play probably four or five times this year, and the one that makes you believe it is the Oregon game. They were better than Oregon. They had Oregon, with the exception of the kick returns, and that's just Boise State doesn't have the athletes. Remember when we watched Indiana play Notre Dame? There was just a stark athletic difference. And when you watch Boise against the Oregons of the world, I know this sounds funny because Boise State had them, but especially when you watch like the kick returns, just. From a physical standpoint, they just aren't there with the Oregon Ducks of the world. And I think over the course of a season, over the course of four quarters, most of the time, that stuff will bear itself out. I mean, and so when you look at those Boise State teams, this was the team last year that fired Andy Avalos. They promoted their defensive coordinator, and they got it to Genty to stick around, and they've got one or two guys on the defense. It's a nice team that's playing hard, and they have really one of the special backs. But if you were to take all those Boise teams, this is probably the worst of those Boise kind of BCS teams. This has not been, if you look back at the last 6 or 7 years of Boise State, this is a program that was in the decline. I'm not certain that this is the kind of the ascension of Boise, or it's just it's a scrappy group of guys that played really well, and they have a truly transcendent back that was able to carry them, and they got a little magic in the air, and they're running with it. I don't think this is like a great team.
Outside of Genty, what does Boise bring that gets them past Penn State?
Nothing.
And that's what, I mean, I haven't looked too deeply into this one, but that would be my first thought. It's like, okay, Penn State obviously keys on Genty. That doesn't mean that they shut Genty down, but Penn State is a good defense.
Yes.
And should be able to, how do I want to say it? I mean, they should be able to do enough to I mean, Genty can't just run for 250 and beat them. They will not let that happen.
Genty may get his, but they probably can't do enough otherwise to make a difference.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, but I don't even think that. I think that, in other words, Boise State doesn't have anything else, so Penn State's just going to throw all their eggs at Genty, and that still may mean Genty gets 120 yards, but it may be 120 really difficult yards and a lot of field goals, and that and they lose by 20.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't see how... Outside of Genty just going crazy and Penn State simply cannot contain him,
yeah.
What else does Boise have?
Nothing really. And it's funny is that when I've watched Boise State and then going into this, I always try to dig into some of these games and you look at some of the advanced analytics. And again, you know, I'm not saying analytics are everything, but you know, against like the 89th best schedule in the country, Boise State's offensive line only has, so they do this with, they call it yards that the offensive line gets and then yards that Genty gets, right? So a lot of times when you see a back that plays really well, it's like, you know, it's the Emmitt Smith theory, right? Emmitt Smith yards were different than Barry Sanders yards. Boise State only is the 39th best offensive line in yards gained. So it's not as if they have like this phenomenal O-line that's blowing people off the ball.
And Genty's got all these yards after contact.
He's one of the best after contact guys we've ever seen in college football. And then the quarterback they have in Maddox is, I mean, I hate to say it, but he's okay. But when you watch him play, he doesn't push the ball downfield. They don't have receivers that particularly scare you. And so I wish I could sit there and point to stuff where I said all of this stuff is going to give Penn State problems. But I think when you watch Boise State, which is phenomenal that they've made it here, but the game plan should be simple. Play 9 guys in the box and dare someone else to beat you. But even against Oregon, when they did a good job against Genty, and they did for a lot of that game, he still ended up with the 70-yard touchdown run. And so, is there a window for Boise State to win? Sure. Right? They're going to play with their hair on fire. They play very hard. They play very aggressive. But physically up front, this should not be a game over 4 quarters that Boise State should be able to hold up. Especially if Penn State plays... These last 3 or 4 weeks, Penn State's offense seems to have come out of its shell, and Drew Aller is playing a lot better, and they've gotten both of their backs healthy, and you saw this when they played Oregon. You saw this in the game against
they
SMU.
They averaged 10 yards a carry against Oregon.
Yeah, they are really starting to click and lock in, and I'm not certain. Like, when we watched Oregon go up and down the field on Penn State, it was because they can do multiple things, and Penn State couldn't focus on one thing, and Oregon had a big physical line. Penn State plays a little bit of kind of like what Boise State does. They're not the biggest group up front. Like, even their best player, you know, Carter, the defensive end, he's not this big, rugged. Like, you look at Oregon's front, even their defensive ends are 270, 290 pounds. Penn State kind of moves, jumps around blocks a little bit. And that's what Boise State does. That's what Penn State does. And so I'm not even certain that Boise State can just line up and knock Penn State off the ball and force them out of that. I just... And I don't think they can throw their way out of it like Oregon did against Ohio State, where it said, hey, you better back off a safety. I think Penn State is just going to play everyone at the line of scrimmage, and I don't think Maddox or any of the Boise State receivers scare Penn State enough to really force them to do anything different. So we talk about this all the time. I think there's one narrow path for Boise State to win, and they've proven that they can do it over the years, but I don't think this is that special Boise team. I just think it's a good team with a special player.
Well, Penn State, they keep proving it. They win in all types of ways.
Yes.
And even on the other side of the ball, even if they can score points with Genty, their defense is not going to offer any resistance against Penn State. They are, you know, they're the second to worst tackling team in the entire country.
Yeah,
Boise is. They're playing in the Mountain West. Like, that's a problem against a much bigger, more physical team.
Yeah,
and they don't apply any pressure on the opposing quarterback. So Aller's going to sit back there and not make any mistakes, and they're just going to push him around.
Yeah, Aller... That dude can make himself a lot of money in the next 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Starts here.
So, I mean, I hope Boise State, you know, pulls the upset. I hope Boise State makes this a great game. I just... Not that the Fiesta Bowls that they've been in haven't been big games. But they have been one-offs, right? And we talk about this all the time, that when Oklahoma or someone like this plays in one of these games, I hate to use the "it doesn't matter," because it certainly does. But that is Boise State's proving ground, right? That is their Super Bowl. This is Penn State. Like, you're not getting Penn State that's going to look at Boise State and be like, well, it's just another game. Like, this is different. this is all the marbles. I mean, this is on a path for a national championship. And I think Penn State went into the season saying, hey, we have a national title team. And Boise State certainly wasn't thinking that. And in these sorts of games, with the exception of maybe TCU beating Michigan that one a couple years back in one of these, when we've gotten to the playoff games, the Cincinnati's of the world, the Michigan States of the world, kind of the little engine that could, and those teams are still, I would say, obviously more stacked than Boise was. Those games have usually ended one way, and that's with the more physical, more dominant team across the board kind of asserting their will, and I think that probably is why everyone's looking at this and saying, this is a two-touchdown game.
X factor here, notoriously slippery field. You may remember this from the Oregon-Auburn championship game.
Yeah.
Because it's real grass, and they roll it out, or they roll it in from outside.
Yeah.
And so the dry air outside and the wetter air inside makes it sweat, and it puddles. I was listening to somebody who said that they covered a Fiesta Bowl recently, or a game there, and said that literally, you can walk on the sideline and step in puddles of water.
Oof.
Because of that stupid field.
How messed up it is.
Yeah. So that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, slop it up a little bit. Like, if you're the less athletic team, a la Boise State, I think you want to play in the slop like that. So, you know, and maybe Genty is just that truly special guy that can carry him. Or maybe, you know, Penn State doesn't show up. Like, they have a history of not showing up in these games.
I can see Boise State keeping it close.
I hope so.
But you're making me uncomfortable.
I go back and ask, how many players for Boise State would, not that this is, you know, the difference in, you know, the end all to be all, but how many players for Boise State would start for Penn State? I think you're probably talking about 3 to 4. And,
well,
you know, that's over the course of four quarters. And again, I think over the course of the season, attrition matters and you get beat up. And I think Boise at the beginning of the year, if you're going to have one of those games, you're more likely to get it. But you Boise has had some rest, which is, it was a good thing for them, because Genty towards the end of the year was kind of nicked up and dinged. So this is about as healthy as you're going to get at this point. And if I'm Boise, I sit down with that kid and I say, hey, man, you're going to touch the ball 40 times. Hell or high water, man. We are living and dying with number two.
Well, will we have the exact same conversation we just had about that game, about this next game coming up next? I don't know. We might. Can Arizona State shock the world? That's next on The Fan.
He's got a dog mentality.
All right. Happy New Year. Almost. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., you're going to get the first game, first playoff game. You're going to get Texas, Arizona State.
10 a.m., you'll also get Ducks game day right here on The Fan.
Yeah, you should listen to that, but also have Texas, Arizona State on TV.
Yes.
Yes.
And of course, Buckley will not be on Ducks game day. He'll be en route.
Slacker.
To the game. So we'll have two fan personalities at the game, Dusty and Buck.
Even though Dusty stiff-armed Buckley to be on the sidelines, which, wait, not exactly. Look at Dusty big-timing us now.
Dusty came on the Ducks Roundtable show live from Pasadena last night.
Yeah. What was he reporting?
Just odds and ends from Media Day, and they hadn't been to the field
That's
yet.
That's too generic. Like what? What is that? What? Give me a nugget.
Let's see.
What's he bringing to the table down there? Mm. What has he provided the fan for all of that money they spent to send him down there? Oh, wait. They didn't spend a dime.
No.
But
no,
an didn't. Odyssey station.
He goes with the Ducks. Mm.
They're hand-painting the field.
Ah!
They're hand-painting?
He has a photo of it.
What a nuggie.
What is
it? It's the field is so finely manicured down there, they're not even spraying it with a stencil. They are hand-painting it.
Oh.
Okay. That's okay. Cool. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
So there's your nuggie.
There you go.
I don't know why that's a...
Well, that's cool. I asked for a nuggie, and
Anthony Newman asked him specifically about the surface and what the surface was looking like there. So that's what got us to that.
Huh. Mm. That's a weird question.
Entry.
I mean, it's grass.
I don't know. It's a football guy question.
Did you say entering?
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, interesting. I just think it's weird that, like...
I do knew that.
There was once when I was buying a car.
You were.
I was leasing a car years ago, and it was a Ford Mustang, and they had the... You know, they have, like, the racing stripe on it. And the racing stripe from the factory was like, it was like an $800 option, right? To just put the two racing stripes down the top of it. Or you could choose the hand-painted one.
Nice.
Do you care to guess what the hand-painted one was?
I don't know, 10,000?
Yeah. Yeah. It's about 10 G's.
Yeah, man.
And I sat there and I was kind of scratching my head. And I remember asking the guy who was like, we were kind of placing the order with, I was like, what's the difference? He's like, one's hand painted. I'm like, can you tell the difference? He's like, well, no. I mean, the factory one is like, it's laser. I mean,
so
it's
paying
like,
$10,000 just to be able to say it was hand painted.
It's perfect. And that's when I was kind of like, yeah, so you're paying $10,000 to tell someone. I feel like that's kind of the thing with the field. Like if we painted the field with the machine, the stencil, as opposed to hand painting, couldn't you make the argument that the stencil one would be sharper and better than the hand painted one?
You could make that.
You could
argument.
Definitely make that argument.
That was kind of my thing. I was
but
like,
"This is the we care more flex." You know,
you know what?
Care more.
Buck needs to send a message to that Rose Bowl board.
Yeah, aren't you involved in that, Buck?
No, I'm not involved in that again. I don't even know where my ticket is coming from, but it has something to do with someone's company being on the board.
Interesting.
How many people at that game will have no idea where their tickets are coming from? Not that many.
Your white privilege. Unbelievable, Buckley. Although,
well,
kudos
not, no,
to you.
You know what? I'll find out by the end of the show.
Kudos to you for using your white privilege, though. I mean,
okay,
if you didn't
so,
use it,
hey, I'm using friendship.
She's being wasted.
10 a.m.
My friend reached out.
You get Texas, Arizona State.
Yeah.
Now, this, you know, we could probably have the exact same conversation that we just had about Penn State, Boise State.
It is a little bit in the same
it's
way
similar.
Where if Arizona State wins, although with Arizona State, I'll say this. Obviously, Scataboo and Genty, it's the same thing, right? Both yeah. teams, solid quarterbacks, don't really scare you. Their offense is built around one guy and one guy only. You stop him and everything kind of clogs down. Arizona State, I think, is 6-1 in one score games. They've been pulling things out of the fire. They live in the margins, and they have an opportunistic defense that plays well in the red zone, and Texas leaves points in the red zone. Like, that's at least a case that can be made, but it does feel like there's really only one path, and that is Genty and Scataboo going badass crazy.
Yeah, I think that's right. And Levitt's good.
It's okay.
I think he's good. I think he's better than okay. But those two guys, Scataboo and Levitt, are going to have to be heroes because they have nobody else.
Well, and the problem with Arizona,
their top wide receiver is still out.
He's out.
And, he's out for the year.
And when I say top wide receiver, he's really their only receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jordan Tyson is the guy we're talking about.
So they have one way to win.
Yeah, 75 catches for 1,100 yards. Would you care to guess who their second best receiver is?
Well, he got a tutty against Iowa State.
The second best receiver is
Scataboo. Okay.
With gotcha. 30, so it goes
they
from,
had a guy against Iowa State that I thought looked
Gilroy.
Okay. Yeah, he looked all right.
He was the Native American guy, I think. They kept doing the cool celebration. Tyson had 75 catches. Scam Cataboo, 37. Gilroy,
did
the
you
guy.
You just call him Scam Cataboo?
Cam Scataboo, 39.
You're on fire today.
Catches. And
are you drunk?
Gilroy, the guy you're I wish.
Jazz Chisels.
19 catches.
Yeah, no, I have a hunt. Okay, I'm gonna have a hot take on this one. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I did not have a hot take on Penn State, Boise State. I have a hot take on this game, and it's scalding.
Oh, I love it.
It's scalding. Do you remember Dan Lanning's first game at Oregon?
I do remember Dan Lanning's first game at Oregon.
Do you remember what happened in that game?
Yeah, was it 60?
Lost by 46.
Yeah, it was a lot to a little.
I think that's this game. I do.
You just gets,
and it, I know everybody's jocking Arizona State because we really want Arizona State.
And they're a great story.
They are a great story, and we like Kenny Dillingham. He's got the Oregon ties, and they're a big underdog, and nobody likes Texas, right? Unless you're a Texas fan. I see similarities in how this game sets up to that Lanning game against Georgia.
Yeah.
Texas is if not the second most talented team in this whole tournament, in the whole country.
Elite defense.
They are absolutely elite pretty much all over the place. Georgia was then against Oregon. And remember that Oregon team that Dan Lanning had? No, that was his first game. So that's where it deviates a little bit. This is not Dillingham's first game. But I don't think he's got Arizona State nearly to the place where you can go toe-to-toe with a team like Texas.
Sure.
And we never know that until they lace them up. And we found that out the hard way when Oregon played Georgia. It was like, oh, remember that spread? It was like 3.
Yeah.
Oregon got absolutely demolished.
It was ugly.
And that was a good Oregon team. I don't know if you remember, but that team won 10 games.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of similarities there. Again, I know this is a hot take, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but I have no idea how Arizona State's defense slows down Texas in any way. I mean, I was looking them up today. Arizona State's defense ranks 71st in the country.
Yeah, it's not
They great. Have no pass rush, and they have a bad secondary.
Yeah.
They Texas has, and look, you kind of glossed over it, but you mentioned the only thing that points to Arizona State is that you should never, ever in a million years trust Steve Sarkisian or even to some degree Quinn Ewers. They will let you hang around, but I even think they are so much better at so many positions against Arizona State in this game, I don't even think they're capable of letting Arizona State hang around. Unless Scataboo, like you said, unless Scataboo just runs all over them, which I don't see happening, I think Arizona State is going to get absolutely drilled. The other thing that leads me to that is, you know, with unbalanced schedules in college football, we're always comparing teams. This was the whole argument, and comparing leagues, right? This was the whole argument about, oh, these SEC teams are so much better, they deserve to be in over the SMUs and the Indianas or whatever. Okay, well, guess what? Now that we're in actual bowl games, we get to see them line up against other teams from other leagues that they didn't play this year. And guess what's happening?
Yeah.
The Big Ten is smoking the SEC. Yeah. So the Big Ten didn't look that, outside of Oregon, and of course we know Ohio State's really good, but you know they even had their ups and downs. The Big Ten didn't jump off the page at you this year, but guess what? The Big Ten's damn good.
Yeah.
Michigan just beat Alabama. Illinois beat South Carolina. Some people were jocking South Carolina for this tournament. USC beat Texas A&M. I don't know if you've seen that USC quarterback. I don't know if that dude's it or not, but he shouldn't be it.
No.
And they still beat Texas A&M, and A&M was in the playoff conversation towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State absolutely boat raced Tennessee, and Tennessee was one of the top two teams in the league. The only of those two leagues, the only game that they won the SEC was Missouri beat Iowa.
And that was a comeback.
They had to come back to do it. Now, what I'm getting at is, look at the Big 12 in bowl games. They're getting smoked. Arkansas beat Texas Tech. Baylor, everybody was jocking Baylor, one of the hottest teams in the country. Well, Baylor was one of the hottest teams in the country. LSU has all these opt-outs, and I don't know if you saw the score. Last I checked, it was up on the screen over there. LSU is up by 21.
Yeah.
There was another one. West Virginia. Again, these are just Big 12 teams I'm pointing out. West Virginia got beat by a team from the American Athletic. Yeah. I think there's even... Oh, Rutgers! Rutgers! Oh, no, they lost. Rutgers almost beat Kansas State. They scored 40 on Kansas State, but lost. My point is, the Big 12 isn't even close to the SEC, and I think you're going to see that when Texas beats the living crap out of Arizona State. And like I said, I hope I'm wrong, but that is my hot take on that game.
I wish I could throw some sort of thing at you to say I disagree. And I mentioned it earlier, the only thing, and you brought it up, the only thing that would give me pause is Arizona State has a really timely defense in the red zone, right? They play good red zone defense. They come up with turnovers and they hold people to field goals. You know who's one of the worst red zone offenses in the country? Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns. It's weird because you would think with all the talent they have and their ability to run the ball and Quinn Ewers and some good receivers and Bond and
you
these
can't,
guys.
You can't trust them.
They will leave points on the board, and that's the only thing that gives me pause is that if Arizona State can run the ball and muck this up and shorten the game, right? Limited possessions, because if you find a way to limit it down to 12 or 13 possessions and you can get Texas that shoots themselves in the foot a couple times, forces some field goals, or maybe you get a turnover down there in the red zone, that's how a team like Arizona State can hang around. But
well, they need Ewers to give them the ball.
Yes.
And Ewers is certainly capable of giving them the ball.
Sure.
I just think that all the stuff that we say that's negative about Texas, I don't know that Arizona State can force that out of Texas in this particular matchup because they just do not have the horses outside of this Scataboo.
And when you look at Arizona State this year and the one score game over Mississippi State, one score game over Texas State.
Wait, stop right there. Mississippi State, one score game. What was the score of that game?
30-23.
Do you know how bad Mississippi State was this year?
Yeah.
That was one of the worst teams, if not the worst, in the SEC.
Remember, we watched the game where they eked it out against Texas Tech. They eked one out against Kansas, and Kansas wasn't a bad team, but they eked one out there. They eked one out against Central Florida.
They tried to blow the BYU game.
Tried to blow the BYU game. In fact, BYU ended up catching a pass on the 2-yard line that would have won the game. It's like, and they played well against Arizona State, but it is definitely one of those when you look up and down, and we may find out that the best, and BYU was a good team. BYU wasn't great.
I just don't think the Big 12 is good, dude.
We may find out that that's their best win, and we may find out, like what you said,
that's what I'm saying.
The wins on the border. This might be a little more Indiana than it is.
Yeah, I think they're better than, well, I don't know that they're better than Indiana. I just think they're going to get exposed.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Boise State will get exposed against Penn State. I have a hunch Arizona State is about to get bludgeoned. And I'm really going to be rooting for Arizona State.
I would tend to agree that if you asked me which one of those, I said, I got to pick an upset, right? One of those two teams, the gun to my head, I got to pick one of those, my metaphorical sports gun. I would take Boise State over Arizona State.
Couldn't agree more.
Arizona State just, boy, they've got a swagger, though. I'll say that.
I mean, they're
those
cocky.
Those sons of guns are cocky.
Yeah, but Texas, you know, the other thing about Texas, last week, or was it last week? When they played Clemson, they ran all over Clemson. And Texas, you know, the thing about them is everybody talks about Ewers.
Yeah.
Their run game is really clicking.
And they're down a couple. They're down a couple backs.
Well,
and
they're
it doesn't
back
seem
now.
To matter.
Well, they're back. Blue's back, or what's his nuts? Blue, right? Isn't that his name?
Yeah, he's Jaden
back.
Blue.
But both the guys that they lost were back, and they are running all over. And Clemson's a pretty good defense. I think I got to tell you, if it weren't Steve Sarkisian.
Right,
that's the team.
One, that's the one you're like, yeah, Steve.
Yeah, I think he can blow any game at any time. Okay,
that's true.
Maybe not this one.
King of the pucker,
and Ewers is a little shaky too. Like I don't trust him either.
Yeah, Blue and Wisner both ran for over 7.5 yards a carry against SMU.
Yeah, dude, they are. Dan Lanning has told us this when we interview him every week. When it comes down to this point in the season. It really does come back to running the football.
Yeah.
You know, NFL teams will say this in the playoffs, too. Even though, you know, like the Lions are slinging it all over the place, you know, they run the hell out of the ball, too. So I just feel like Texas is that one team. And I think Ohio State might do this tomorrow, too. You can see them run a lot more effectively. Yeah. And I think Texas is going to – I have no idea how Arizona State stops that from Texas. And then, oh, by the way, if they need Quinn Ewers, they can put Quinn Ewers – to work over the top, but I don't think they're going to need to. I think they're just going to absolutely line up and pound Arizona State.
We'll see what happens, but that's kind of the fun part is, you know, can we get a David versus Goliath? Because even though it's the Big 12, Arizona State was picked to finish almost dead last. I think they were
exactly
picked, yeah. And so while it is a great story, David and Goliath is a fun story, but what usually happens is David ends up getting stomped on by Goliath, and then we're like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, and if little David gets pulverized tonight and tomorrow morning, we're going to complain about it again.
Yes, you're going to hear – you're right. You're going to hear a lot about that.
I don't want to hear it because –
Well, the other thing is, okay, that may happen in these two games, but those other two games, dynamite matchups.
Yes.
Right? By noon tomorrow, you may have social media filled with, this team didn't deserve to be there. And look at this, the chalk wins again by a lot. Who cares? Just wait for Ohio State, Oregon, and Georgia, Notre Dame. You can't get better matchups than those.
Because
two.
Isn't that the beauty of sports is that, yes, David and Goliath does not happen that often, but the opportunity for it to happen is what keeps you watching.
That's right.
Because when it does happen, when you do see the upset, that's when TCU beats Michigan and goes and plays for a national title. And I know it's a bummer that they get boat raced by Georgia, but you can't sit there and say that TCU didn't belong or that because a team gets blown out that no other team should ever get that chance. That's the whataboutism that I hate. If these two teams get blown out, right, we're going to sit there and say, well, we can never give these teams
chances.
Well,
who do
you want
to put in there? Alabama, they just lost to Michigan.
Exactly.
So
no one wants to put different teams in. They just want the seeding to be different.
Oh, yeah. Well, that it's fair. It's a fair argument, okay? But there's nothing we can do about it now.
Exactly.
You just got to play it out and have fun.
They earned their way in. Arizona State earned their way in. Boise State earned their way in, and they get their shot. And if they can't take advantage of it, by the way, they're both massive underdogs. They're not supposed to.
If they can't take advantage of it, I think what you're saying is we shouldn't take away the opportunity for them. Just because they lose,
so this is what we're going to do now. What some people want is we get to this point, and if Vegas thinks you're more than a 2-touchdown underdog, then we don't have to play the game. That's just dumb.
Lace them up, you little bitch. Let's go. Kenny Dillingham might
lace
have
them
a little,
up, you little bitch. Let's go.
He might have a little something for Sark.
I'm not going to lie, Dillingham Sark in the
could be a fight.
Chubby, cherub, angry fat boy coach game could be phenomenal sideline fodder.
Could be a fight. All right. Well, now to the good ones. Okay. Who do we trust more, Georgia without its quarterback or Notre Dame? We'll get to that one next on The Fam.